January 3rd, 2013 is the Light from Pedro show. Show. Hey, Brother Matt.
Hey, we're back.
First show of 2013.
Indeed. Pretty busy.
You're back in the, I see here your graduating thing. You did good here in front of the bell.
Yeah, we got
Brother Matt, you know, he does adult school cats. You want to come back and give it another throw. And he's Teacher of the Year awards. But maybe I'm this man.
That's cool.
And it ain't the backhand. It's
the big bear hugs.
He's got technique, though.
Yeah.
We started off with John Coltrane doing Epistrophe. Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
yeah, what school like?
What's that?
You been back a couple days?
No, I'm still on vacation for a couple more days. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's good. But you put up a thing for them, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Got a little advertising going.
Yeah. So Epistrophe, John Coltrane with Thelonious Monk. I don't know, it got cut off, but I thought it was probably
hey,
good.
Here.
Then we had Sawako doing Fanfare. And then our guest for the, this edition, Pedro Band, Destroy L.A. Or DLA. What do you guys like?
Both. Either way, both, it's good.
And a tune called Losing My Mind. Now, I saw this. Do you guys know Back from Samoa?
Yeah.
Is it that same creature?
Yeah, it is. It's the same one.
Angle, kind of. Yeah, I just was at his, Greg Turner's pad, and he teaches calculus in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And he was the songwriter and guitar man for Samoans. He also was in Vom, and now he's got a band called Blood... Sucking cows. Oh. Blood drain cows. Blood drain cows. He's got the auto harp player from Rocky Erickson. But, yeah, so you guys knew about that. That's a bad record. They saved Hitler's cock. Yeah. Right? My old man's a bat, so.
That's awesome.
He wrote, when he was younger, too, he wrote record reviews for Cream Magazine. So you want to introduce?
I'm Derek, guitar.
Guitar man.
Steve, the bass player of BLA.
Steve.
Joey, I'm vocals.
Joey.
And I'm Miles, the drum player.
Drummy.
Yeah.
Who's doing a sub, right? Yeah. Somebody's at school. Mm-hmm. Zona?
Up in Oregon.
Oregon. Oregon.
All right.
Yeah.
Club Ducks?
Yeah, was it Corvallis or Eugene? There's two school towns there.
I don't know
anything about it. Okay. One of them was more hippie, I guess.
Yeah, Eugene. I saw the dead Eugene a couple times.
Yeah, I guess that. Yeah. Ducks.
Well, years.
In fact, I didn't play Corvallis.
Oh, so it was later?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I've only played Eugene. Eugene's an interesting place. It's a woodworker of the world hall there, a wow hall.
Little Rick Czar. Rick Czar lives up there.
That's right. Zoothorn Rollo, too. You guys know, can't be for tell me how you got into music.
The kids down the street listen to punk rock. And
turns on the guitar?
Yeah.
You want to play his?
He taught me how to play a riff.
He taught you. All right. Let's give his name then.
Jake.
He's played
in Public Distrust.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He taught me how to play, like, just how to do a power chord.
Yeah.
And then I did the rest. I don't know, listen to shit and try to play it.
Is it like teen days?
Like, when I was, like, 14.
Yeah, young teen.
Yeah. How? And then I taught my brother.
Yeah.
I'm 2 years younger than him, so I was, like, 11 or 12 at the time.
Cool.
That's what you got on the bass.
Yeah.
You were smart as
so I learned it. Learned it all mostly from him.
No, that's very cool though. It's a family thing then.
Yeah.
So Jake kind of helped both of you out.
Yeah.
Respect Jake. Is he playing?
I don't think so. When's the last time they played?
Out of the race.
It's been at least 3 years.
3 years. Joey, how'd you get used? You were the drummer man, right?
No, I'm the vocals.
But were you?
Oh, no, I played bass in another band.
You were a bass man.
Yeah, but...
Somebody told me you went from... I think Vinny Vegas told me you went from one thing to the singer.
Yeah, pretty much just filled him in and kicked out the old singer and threw me on the vocals.
Yeah.
Same exact band, but... I got into playing bass back in, like, 10th grade. I think I was, like, 15.
Yeah.
It was not... I didn't meet these guys yet. I just had my own group of friends that we were making music with.
Pedro High?
Pedro High, yeah. 2004, club graduated.
And then,
So how'd you get into it? Just...
Punk rock in general?
No, the bass.
We decided to start a band, like, and we just, from nothing, and one, we had a drummer already, so now we needed a guitar and a bass, and then I chose bass,
great,
I guess.
Good choice.
And then I just...
No, because I asked this, because in the old days, when I was a little more younger, bass was, like, nobody picked it.
Yeah.
It was like right field in Little League is where you put your retarded friend. Punk came with really good shit at the bass player.
Yeah.
Punk was more fair, and you didn't have to deal with that old rock and roll.
Yeah.
Fuck, I would. You definitely kept it up there, though, man.
Yeah, but it was weird with Arena Rock, and it was hard to hear what they were doing, this whole different mentality. Yeah, punk came, and also the drummers, because the rhythm was strong in punk. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just about a flashy lot of notes. Yeah, it was about rhythm and feel. So the bass and drummers, not put down guitar players at all. Actually, I think bass and drum look good, making guitar man look good. So it's all...
It's all good.
When I was younger, it was like no one went for it first. Yeah. So that's why I'm curious about you. How'd you get into drum?
Actually, I was trying to be a bass player when I was like 11, and I couldn't do it. I just... Yeah. The hands, I just couldn't. And then my dad's into jazz. He named me after Miles Davis, so he kind of pushed me in that area. And I love the way jazz musicians just kind of just roll and just kind of...
It's almost, still had to use your hands.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's just easier to bang things than to kind of hit notes.
The,
you know?
The brain probably had different connections.
And when you're young, it's easy to bang things. Bang and things. They never thought of it as me like progressing. And then, one day I kind of just it kind of came easy and I just
it was a natural. For
yeah, and
see,
then
George Hurley told me about drums was like balancing on your tailbone. And you're using all four. Yeah, that is more difficult than maybe just two. I don't know.
Maybe it's just...
maybe natural. Yeah. Just fit to you.
But, I got into to punk and everything from kind of same similar story. My neighbor had listened to it growing up, but he was more part of, like, the early 90s, not really part of, like, the late 80s. And he listened to that growing up.
Hermosa?
Yeah, this is Hermosa. Not late 80s, early 80s. And, he kind of showed me the bands like Black Flag and, you know, just the bands that came out of my area of Hermosa.
Yeah, there was a thing by that studio I was telling you guys called The Church. And that's where a lot of that...
I live
some kind of, they tore it down and they didn't even build anything over it. But this was like you could rent out these things, like hippie crafts thing, and got turned into practice pads.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of their scene.
Yeah, I grew up like two blocks down the street from there on 16th Street.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a little...
Yeah, it's...
Are you guys when you were born? In the
90s? Yeah,
93. I was born
in
87. 89. Okay. 89, so late 80s, 90s. Okay. So it was already torn down away.
Yeah, it was... I just heard stories.
I'm curious about... let's play some Italian hardcore.
We'll be right back. we can remember it for you wholesale. 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 We can remember it for you wholesale.
got from Pedro Show, some hardcore from Italy. Started off with Seditious with A Turning Point in My Intifada. Then we heard Death on Off with Radical Shit. Occhi Spenti from Capolinea. Willie from Star Slugs. Medio Controbente with No Adesso Tu Prende Gli Imperventi.
Good.
You know, I was thinking about being an Italian band writing lyrics because they all have vowels.
Yeah.
You don't have to ever worry about the rhyming thing. You know? But kind of long words. Okay. Gusago by X Plus X, and finally No Opportunity by Odio Sutella. So I want to find out the story about DLA, Destroy LA. I heard how y'all got. Was this the first band for all you cats?
No. I'm kind of out of this picture right now.
Everybody's from different bands that came together. So, who was the first ones to get the band together? Was that you, Joe?
No.
You got it,
yeah. We were in this other band, and we got tired of it.
And you were the bass man in this other band?
Yeah. I was guitar.
What was this band called?
Charged Out. Yeah. So we were just bullshitting.
And so what was your trio? Bass drum?
We had some chick. We had a chick singer. I forgot. Oh, Nikki.
Yeah.
From Wilmington.
Yeah.
We played for a while. Basically learned our instruments better. And
yeah.
I played in some other bands too, but our drummer got better with that band. And
right.
Then, I don't know, we were just kind of over. So there was a pause for like a couple months, and I called Joey, hey, let's start playing again.
Yeah.
You on vocals, me on guitar, I'll get my brother on bass again, and just keep Vinny on drums, and he's like, nah.
And then, what's this, like 2005?
Yeah. December, I think we're around there. And then like a week later, I called him back, hey, come on, let's fucking do it.
Who was the drummer?
Vinny.
Okay. He's like, all right. And then we had a practice. We practiced at Vinny's house over on Denison.
Yeah.
Right by the graveyard. His backyard is the graveyard.
Damn.
But we played in the.
But that's called Harbor View. You can't see any harbor.
Nope.
You got that little walled community there now.
Yeah.
The Army base used to have a dispensary there when I came to Cali.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Fort MacArthur was a lot bigger, like where these boats were.
Not a medical marijuana dispensary.
Well, that's what they call it. It was like a hospital. It was like Corbin. I got my head stitched up there, my hand. No anesthesia. They just fucking held me.
Oh, man.
That whole area. So that's where you guys were. Denison, 25th,
24th? 24, 29, Denison Avenue.
I lived for a while 23rd in Gaffey, so I know this neighborhood. That's the oldest graveyard, that one.
It looks like it.
The graves are from way back.
We've been inside the church once.
Now, that church, they dragged over there. It used to be in the north part of town. That's Pedro's first church. They dragged it over in the 50s.
And you see his picture of all the
kids like
that went there.
Yeah.
You know they're going to get killed.
Standing there, staring at the camera, all creepy.
Shit. Strong piss smell, too, in there. Okay, so you guys are practicing.
Yeah.
And, we're going to. The name.
Destroy LA.
Yeah.
We used to play it. We played LA a lot.
Because you were doing. Charged Out was playing uptown.
They pretty much branched off the Charged Out,
life,
I guess you could say that.
Yeah.
Tired of playing, just of L.A.
They were running the scene and you're tired of
it? All the bands, they all sounded exactly the same.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we wanted to do
the same. their own smell, their everything. They're unorganized, just the same shit that we didn't like.
Right. Because, you know, we're part of the L.A., too.
I know.
You are mayor.
But
we're so much, we're 25 miles from
there.
We love
it at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
You're talking, downtown and the smell?
No, it's not even like that. Yeah, it's...
Oh, it was just a mentality, just SoCal.
It was just, yeah, it was just a, we were starting off in a pissed off mentality kind of thing.
So it wasn't like you were representing OC.
Well, like now, like in my personal opinion, yeah. I honestly take it as like, I mean, I almost like reverse it in my mind, like it's Destroy LA, like I want to take all the hardcore that used to be back then, all the stuff, how it used to be, and I want to keep it alive, and I want to just shoot it everywhere, like all across wherever it is, and it's just take LA's freaking old hardcore scene and just destroy it, whatever the fuck is left of whoever wants to hear it, and shit like that. That's how I always just took it, like, on my transition.
You ever see some of them old guys? You know, Rick Rick Wilder still has Mau Mau's. Yeah. They were from the old Hollywood scene.
Because, yeah, we like all
there's
the bands.
There's not a lot of cats from the old days, you're right. The Youth Brigade, the Stern Brothers are still around.
Yeah, they still play around.
You know, actually, they're from Canada.
Yeah, I was about to say they're Jewish Canadians.
Yeah, but a long time ago. That's crazy. They had a club going in the old days in the Val called Godzilla's that we got to play a few times. And they were kind of into, like, starting getting scenes started. Yeah. They had this thing called Better Youth.
Oh, Better Youth Organization?
UIO.
UIO Records.
We put out gigs. You guys become Destroy LA, and it's much different now with Joyce singing, not a lady singing. You wrote a new batch of songs.
Of course.
All
of
it.
You don't play any of the Charge Out songs.
No.
Nope.
And when did you guys record? Did Charge Out ever record?
Yeah, we have a full-length CD out with that band.
Yeah, oh, really?
Full-length.
We do?
Booklet. Yeah, man, he doesn't even know.
Well, I'd love to play it on the show.
Yeah, we have. I don't like to listen to it, personally. Why? I just don't like the recording. It just came out crappy. And
where'd you do it? In Pedro?
No, we did it in Orange County, I think, at the drummer of the hardcore band Terrazotu. You've heard of their garage, but it was like when he first got his equipment, and he was like, he only did like, I think, two recordings before that, and we didn't even get to hear
him. You were helping him learn.
Probably were, and obviously he needs to learn more, right?
Yeah, that's okay. You went with
him,
brother, man, and donated.
Yeah, donated our time.
You know, some tunage and time.
It was free, too. We didn't pay for it.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't think we paid. I didn't pay anything for it. Unless Nikki dropped some on the side, I didn't.
I'll play some more hardcore. We're gonna play some from Holland, some Dutch hardcore.
Happy Thomas dancing. Take it up.
Oh, wow.
What the fuck is above? Come on.
five times.
I think there were three times.
Watch the Pedro show. There's some hardcore from Holland. We started with Dude in Verdurf by GFR. Up the Punks. Something live from Fleas and Lice. Van Acht by Amsterdammed. I Dream a World by Man Lifting Banner. No, the English ain't their first language. they speak it good over there.
Yeah,
Distraught by Nuestros Derechos. The rights, huh? I suspect. Fake by Mornington Crescent. Mornington Crescent, that sounds like a band from England. And then finally, Punk Skins by the Squits. Getting back to the story of DLA. So that single, was that the first one?
Yeah, the 7-inch record.
That 7-inch, from where did you record that?
That was all. We did that in Venice with the you know, the Rabies, Josh Landy.
Sure. The Boners, too. Now he's got that band, the Boners.
Does he? I know he's in the Shrine right now. I don't know really about it, but yeah, we recorded in his garage and.
It sounds good.
They had some good equipment.
His dad was like a sound guy. I don't know, but his dad.
Good ears, good hands. Yeah, that makes it a lot too.
That was all one day recording.
Really?
Early in the morning, done by the evening.
Mixed everything.
Yeah, mixed it and waited.
That's how we did our first one.
Yeah, it was as quick as possible, so we didn't have to pay as much, too.
It's better to have one day, so you get everything sounding, you know, it's all levels of the same.
Yeah. When, like, consistent?
Yeah.
But that No Way thing, that was all free. We got hooked up. He sent the demo to the East Coast of No Way.
Yeah.
They heard it. They called him back, hey, we want to put these guys on. And he called me, hey, you want to do this? And I'm like, how much it cost? He's like, it's free, I'm going to hook you up. I'm like, all right.
So they pressed all the records and they gave us like 20% so we could sell that and make our money.
Right? Yeah. I mean, they made a bunch of money off of us, but that's cool. We got a bunch of records that we're just lazy. We don't sell any of our shit. We always forget. Every show,
I do that too.
Every show, we don't even think about our merch.
We need to find one friend that'll sit down and sell our stuff.
We need to get a table and.
A table.
I don't know.
No, I put it in a sack, dude. I swing it.
Or do like that.
From the stage, get down playing. The table.
I think
like in like the lobby, a lot of shows.
Yeah, all this shit.
It's
a lot more organized than it was in the old days, man. Nobody did any of that.
We have so much shit to sell. It's all sitting, collecting dust.
We probably giving away
shirts and hats.
Not all the
records we have.
Jonies.
shirts, records, stickers.
Yeah,
we should make some Jonies though.
Yeah. too far to let it go.
January 3rd, 2013, it's the second hour of the Juan from Pedro show. And, you know, I got so caught up in, you know, the wishful thinking with the ELA guys about merch. That I forgot to tell you what songs we play. We heard you guys. You're great, DLA. Oh, cool. And then some Husker from, you know, we put out the first Husker album. It's called NSP Records.
Yeah, yeah.
But they had another record, and this is from there. It's called Ultra Core.
Cool.
Yeah. And then Demon Queen with Love Hour Zero, and finally Never Talk Strangers, Mau Mouse. That's Rick Wilder. Check him out. There's still some dudes from the old days kicking.
Draw me a picture, the last scene you remember as a mariner, she said. He drew a picture of himself sitting on a bench. His sailor's hat cocked to one side, the coffee cup on the table. He asked her jokingly, "How do you want me, ma'am? Hobbled and iron?" She helped him look. How far back? He didn't know. Down in the sea to the bottom drawer, they found his paper, water-stained and brown. He pulled them out and waved and yelled, as if he had found a passage toward the wild fix of stars or the Isle of Capri.
When I fall, there for me, my friend. When demons call, will you help me to stand tall again? 'Cause I feel small, and every day I'm shrinking. That's no fault, man, water, but still sinking. Greatest fear that I've ever known.
I'd rather be in Kansas, where everything is dead and gone, except the smell inside a 1948 Mercury, with soft green lights on the dash, memories that await the children of a ruined world.
Nakon recepta, bez zakrške, koja i njegova disciplina kičme?
We'll be right back.
Apart from Greengrow Show, I started off second hour with the Clubber Lang Band with Charlie Plymell doing Man Overboard. There, Charlie. A heavy blanket, no telling, no trails. Heavy blankets, Jay Mask is playing everything. This concept opera where he meets two old buddies. It actually played everything. And then Japanica and Shimmy. Telling Lies by Black Randy and the Metro Squad.
Yeah.
You guys know them?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were crazy. Yeah. That was a Hollywood band.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Black Randy passed away a bunch of years ago, but they were a trip, man. They were a trip. And Batman from Disciplina Kichma. That's Koyo, that wild bass player.
Oh, yeah,
His version of this is when he had half the band was Croatian cats on horns, and then him, the drummer from Belgrade, and they were on it's funny ass, it's on the YouTube thing with the Croatia TV, and everybody's got mullets, maybe late 80s or something.
He's like a Hendrix bass band.
Yeah, that's what he's like. But the band, I mean, the crowd looked like Thompson Twins. Whenever Durant, remember that look?
Yeah,
really. And that snare drum, too. You know that when you hear that wave. And finally, we heard Everybody Else Is Wrong by Basho.
Hey, Basho.
Yeah, so you got this stuff that you want to sell, and you want to market some new stuff, and you don't bring it to gigs because you ain't got a table.
We're lazy. We're always doing other shit, and
You're late, and I don't know. We're just so you're like me,
you
never had a manager?
No.
Fans never
had a manager.
Yeah.
Me
either.
So do
yourself. What about touring? I'm curious.
Tour?
Yeah.
We've been asked in the past,
yeah,
and we've heard of
bands
that we played with going on tour,
yeah,
and people telling them when we are coming out to tour, but it's just we don't have time, like, jobs, this and that, whatever, schooling.
Yeah, yeah.
But we want to try to put something down for summer.
First tours was with, and I still do tours with other people. It's a good way to get start going on it.
Yeah,
our first tours were with Flag. And
I went to Canada. I went to Canada last year with my tour, with a band tour. I was in called the Imposters.
Winter tour.
And I just quit the band a couple months ago. But
was that your first tour?
I'd gone to Arizona, and I'd gone up to, like, Frisco, and that was, like,
have you guys done that yet? You've been up to SF?
We were supposed to play up there, but
they ended up
canceled.
No scene for us down there. We can't get a hold of.
Yeah, I played down
Casbah.
Where's Casbah? Well, no, we know places down there, and we've tried getting a hold of people, but
I want to go play Oakland.
The only other
family's bay. Yeah. I was just up there. It's happening.
We tried. We had a show in Frisco, and it got canceled.
So we just went up there anyway.
We already
got Sacktown. They got there's a scene there.
Yeah, I played up in there. So, I mean, Chico doesn't have.
But you're
a chopper. Band.
Maybe first tour, get you with another band though. That might be a good idea. But it's the schedules, the domestic.
Yeah.
That was hard for us to balance and that stuff.
We should do one in winter.
Winter's tough though.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Especially
up north.
Sure take it's cold.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in that stuff though?
No. Yeah.
I was in Seattle,
California.
Seattle was hard in the winter, man. That's hard.
That's the only time I get off.
It's winter.
I service pools and shit.
Summertime
is fucking crunch time.
No, summer's tough too because people out of school and it's sweaty and stuff. Cali's kind of calm, you know. It's not freezing, not sweaty. So winters and summers in the rest of the country are kind of tough.
Yeah.
What you want to look for is fall and spring.
Well, I wanted to start with just California. Just the whole
Cali's bitch.
Just making up the Frisco.
Or maybe Oregon and Seattle, Washington, too.
Yeah.
Portland's pretty cool, too. I played up there a couple of times.
Very much. Yeah. Very much. That turned into a whole scene, man.
And we can make that into a
scene. It used to be a one club town. It's got like 30.
We also want to make it into we all skateboard.
So yeah.
It's going to be near skate parks. And
a lot of towns got skate parks now.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
A lot of people got into it. It's got some bad ones.
Yeah.
And we can ride the choppers, too.
Oh, so you want to, like...
take the bikes on the...
you don't want to just...
I
want
to have fun.
You want all this fun.
Yeah, circus.
Make a skate park tour.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in the old days, before skate parks, mm-hmm. a lot of the... Especially with hardcore, the clubs were skate parks, but they were not made by the city. It was made by the dudes. Mm-hmm. There'd be bands.
We played a couple of shows where in downtown LA. It was in a warehouse where they had all the ramps set up inside while we were playing.
There was a lot of that. I'm talking like Fayetteville, Arkansas, Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. We played that Edney skate park with JFA player?
Yeah, JFA.
Came second place.
I went to that show when I wasn't in the band. That was a sick show.
He gave me a bacon board for taking
Mick Rad
place.
Was supposed to play,
yeah,
too.
Mick Rad.
But I don't think they played. I heard they ended up showing up. Pennsylvania, I think they're from. Yeah, they
did. Chuck
Treese is
there. They ended up showing up, but they were on the flyer.
Oh, wow.
I saw that firsthand, I saw that at 13th Street, that was the cat from Long Beach, Ray Barbie, he's a badass,
Tommy G up in Essex. I've met a lot of guys who can skate and play. Speaking of which, this town here,
this Channel Street,
no, well, this he's on 15th now, he's from Torrance, Todd Conch.
Yeah.
No, he was a pro.
Conchalier.
I know he's in some bands in Egypt, but I don't really know him. But
okay,
he's a shit.
I've heard of him.
Wasn't he? FYP.
Pro models on the wall. His
dad was my surf coach.
Skating.
You guys don't know about that city. They ain't from here, right? Yeah. There's those OC guys. A lot of it's transplants. There's Pedro guys, but a lot. We're out of towners, and there was this thing on Gaffney and Fourth. This was like
in the middle
90s. It was called Porch Core. Mm-hmm. It was like three houses, and they were all in it, and they were doing shows.
Danny Lou lived there.
Huh? He was the last man standing at that pad. Yeah, so you know Danny Lou. Yeah. Okay, there's a whole scene around that. Todd started a label. He's put out over 100 records.
His dad's a cool dude too. He was my surf team coach. He's a good person.
Talk to him about
that. Huh? Oh, he's been on a lot. Yeah, you should, man. He tours like a motherfucker too. And they always bring bands, and that guy's really good people. You know, he ain't just flaccid. What do you call that? Flaccid. Nano flaccid. Some dudes, just talk.
Yeah.
That's a real cat.
Yeah.
That's a guy who gets things going. He's really low key. It ain't a power trip for him. He just loves music.
Very cool.
That's
good cool.
But there was a skate connect.
I've seen some footage of him back in the day.
Yeah, he shredded, man.
You know about Channel Street, right?
Yeah.
Because I did a bunch of benefits.
We were there
since I was in middle school.
We did benefits.
It was just a parking lot for the share a ride thing.
I heard there was a core pipe down there, so I went down there. I seen Andy Harris.
Well, it was kind of underground, right? Yeah. It was not legal.
I seen all the older guys, Yamo, Andy Harris.
Andy Harris meeting up with
Andy Harris, he was our substitute teacher in middle school.
Ain't that a trip?
Yeah. So, yeah, we have pictures of us of back in the days, us carrying concrete.
There were some other bands during that time, too, like Second to Last and Hardball.
Yeah, I've heard of Hardball.
I heard of those guys.
Yeah.
Pig Styles in that one?
No. Vince Lafarga. I mean, to some of these guys, they're longshoremen.
Yeah. I know Pig Style was in some.
Pig Sky and a female chauvinist pig.
Ball Gagger.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, there was a whole scene of these bands. And then sometimes music's just for a part of people's life, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
It's there. And I was just finding out about this shit. In fact, Vinny Vegas, he's coming from work. But he took me to these houses where they were doing these, the porch court thing, and then over on 13th Street where they're doing the gigs.
I was small when I was young.
He's really from the hill. I think he came in.
There's a half pipe there, but some guys are like, oh, they don't like little kids. So it's like, there's no half pipe to boards anymore. And
everybody's a little kid at some point.
Yes.
Who the fuck wants to be an old man?
That's what Andy Harris said.
Andy said that. All right, Andy. He was a little kid once. I remember.
I know he has one now.
I love it. He has two of them.
He has two of them. Whales on it.
Oh, no, I joke with me.
That's our little segment of the movie Boardheads. You guys seen that one?
Boardheads.
It's on the Netflix streaming the other day. It's just about dudes who get off on their boards, like surfboards, kiteboards, snowboards, skateboards.
Whatever it is.
And they had a cool Pedro segment with this dude, Half Price, Mark Half Price. Yeah, he had no legs.
Oh, he has no legs. Oh,
yeah, he was cool. He was cool. And Peter Stefano did the soundtrack for the thing. It was a real cool flick.
Peter.
Yeah.
He rapped, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was coming down there for a little while.
Yeah, he showed him down there. Yeah, all over cool Pedro's
Peter, park. I played with him in porno.
I skated with him. It was crazy. I saw him drop in with no
legs. Yeah, dude was badass in the thing. Yeah, very cool.
It blew my mind. I seen him slam one. I was like, oh. But he just rubbed it off.
Got back up.
That's
very cool.
Yeah, he was badass.
Okay, Brother Matt's going to do his little spin cycle, then we'll talk some more.
Cool, ready to roll.
Hey! 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 Put the knife down! Put the knife down! Put the knife down!
The family of a wood carver shot to death by a Seattle police officer says that an autopsy shows he was not facing the officer. Officer Ian Burke shot and killed John T. Williams in August. Williams' family tells our newspaper partner, the Seattle Times, he suffered 4 gunshot wounds on the right side of his body. The Seattle Police Department's Firearms Review Board completed a confidential inquiry Monday to determine if that shooting was justified, and that review has now been passed on to the police chief.
We're waiting to hear more about what led to a deadly shooting in a busy part of downtown Seattle tonight. We know a man was shot and killed near the intersection of Bourne Avenue and Howard Street. We also know that the Seattle police officer who pulled the trigger, John Hopperson, picks it up today.
Seattle police are investigating whether the shooting of wood carver John C. Williams was justified. But in the minds of those who led a memorial tonight at the place he died, it's clear what happened.
The Seattle police officer who shot and killed Native American wood carver John T. Williams in August has turned in his gun and badge. Police sources tell K13 Fox News the department's firearms review board reached a preliminary finding that Officer Ian Burke was not justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
A woman crossing the street is visibly shaken by the shots. After the woman walks out of frame, we hear a female voice say something to the officer. It's garbled. It sounds like she's asking, "What did you do that for?" Officer Burke responds,
"Man, he had a knife and he wouldn't drop it."
Kind of didn't seem right, you know. I understand that he got shot 4 times, and it just, to me, it seemed a little excessive.
One witness we spoke with said he never saw a knife, but the victim was not acting in a threatening way.
He was murdered for a reason. This man was disabled. He was deaf in one ear, and he never harmed a soul.
But Williams' supporters say the video proves that they believe that it was an unprovoked shoot, a harmless wood carver.
I think that this was a murder.
I want justice done by John T. Williams.
We have problems, but you know what? There is no reason to take a gun or kill it in that way.
Later, fellow officers talked to Burke out of the camera's view. On the tape, Burke never tells fellow officers he was afraid and never says Williams was threatening anyone. It.
That John T. Williams should have never been killed.
If you spent 5 minutes with this man, you would have never gotten any information.
violent or could hurt you in any way.
I feel the earthquake coming.
Thank you so much.
Cool, my pleasure.
What was the inspiration, motivation, and stimulus for your spin cycle?
It was, you guys got me so twisted, I didn't know what I was doing.
Good technique. That's an excellent technique. Jeez, old brother man. Well, don't worry. We're at the end of the second hour of January 3rd, 2013 edition of the Lafayette Pedro Show. Special guest, DLA.
Yeah.
Hold tight for hour three. January 3rd, 2013. It's the third hour of the Lafayette Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Yesterday I held your picture. I touched the lips, bent down and kissed you. It's true, I'm in love with you. Two more days, we won't be waiting. We'll live together, there'll be no craving. It's true, I always have you. You know I feel like dancing, and you know I feel like dancing with you. Only with you. Yesterday you gave your notice. You packed your things and walked out singing. No blues, it's so kind of you. You know I feel like dancing, and you know I feel like dancing with you. Only with you. I never thought a girl could be my savior. Wrapped in your perfume, I couldn't feel safer. Never played house with such a naughty neighbor. But everything you do is wrapped up in love and so awful sexy. I'll never know a look could really undress me. Everything you do is sure to impress me. Yeah, everything you do. Your socks and shirts I'm drowning under. But it's cool, it's all for you. I never thought a girl could be my savior. But wrapped in your perfume I couldn't feel safer. Never played house with such a naughty neighbor. But everything you do is wrapped up in love and so awfully sexy. I never knew a look could really undress me. To impress me, yeah. Everything you do, yeah. Everything you do, everything you do, everything you do.
Watch the Beaver Show. Start off third hour with the Flaming Lips doing On the Run. On the Run. Oh, yeah. It's a Pink Floyd song.
Yeah. So it's more like a techno, more like...
Dark Side of the Moon, right?
Yeah, it's electronic more. It's that song is more of an electronic sound.
I think I remember this. Do you guys remember a time when they used to have movies at midnight? And it'd be like Jimmy playing Berkeley and shit?
Oh, no. I wish.
It wasn't in Pedro so much. It was on those were theaters in Long Beach on Ocean Boulevard.
Yeah, there or Torrance or Bosa.
And yeah, Delamo had them. And like the movie, it started at midnight. There were some surfing ones too, Endless Summer and shit. Oh, and yeah, they'd be these rock and roll ones. Yeah, and there was one called Live at Pompeii, and it was Pink Floyd. Mm-hmm. And I remember them doing the song. And Waters, it's a synthesizer with no keyboard. It ain't an organ. It's just a box with knobs. And what they're doing, they're playing inside an old Roman amphitheater. In fact, I saw it.
It was bombed,
I played
it?
In Napoli. No, it's in Pompeii.
Yeah, yeah, but wasn't it bombed? Or what was
no,
it?
What was it was covered.
Vesuvius. Oh, with the volcano. It was the volcano, right?
In AD 78 or 79, yeah. It blew up, and it covered the thing for 1,400 years with ash.
Yeah, people were still...
And everybody thought it was... Yeah, everybody thought it was a fair... Oh, yeah, when they found the bodies. Yeah, people was ignoring the warnings and shit, and the fucking rocks and pounding them.
Now we got the ghost fish.
Yeah. Now we got the ghost fish. And what he did was he made a big tuna fish out of wire mesh, and then dudes from the families... You know, donated shit from their boats.
Oh, shit.
You know, some pulleys and hawsers and compasses and all this shit. So it's kind of a ghost, you know, of what used to be that isn't Not really that strong anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, they fished it out, too. Yeah. That was the one thing. If they would have farmed a little more, let's say with abalone, they went, you know, buck wild on the shit. Mm-hmm. It's only good for your time, right? The next time. But they're still fishing. You know what's good now? It's not tuna anymore, of course. It's squid. Remember a band called the Screamers?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you do.
A lot of Screamers and the Weirdos.
They were one of the first bands that could sell out the Whiskey in RC.
Ross was nice.
Do you know Paul Ross?
I played with the Deadbeats with him.
Wow, right? Yeah. You played with the brother?
Yeah.
Because their drummer
hung
himself.
That's tragedy. Man. That's
they're excellent musicians.
Those guys, I mean, the...
Wow, Ross, so you know Paul. Well, Paul wrote... Paul was in the Screamers, right? But before that, he learned piano. Mm-hmm. And as a teenager, he wrote this piece called The Ark.
Really?
Yeah. And it's 47 minutes long. And he never recorded it until just now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to play that. There's the Ark. Paul Rosler.
Sleazy back street tenements, the rats infest your halls. Your uptown glitter showrooms, specters shadow street your walls. Blizzard on your desktop with sun in. The water in a bathtub was left running. Until the
guys walking down the street with, like, you know, boots like these high, dressed in black, just strapped to the top, just colored dreadlocks, and just, you don't even know what the hell they are.
Nothing's
you can't even tell if they're human or not.
Everything,
Anything
that's,
goes.
That's all a neck, you know.
So see,
that's
not so real. See little babies with mohawks.
You don't stick out as much.
I feel like the people who just look at it, it's not like something you have to put on clothes to, you know, associate with.
Yeah.
And I bet it wasn't like that. I mean, some people didn't look at it like that back then when you were in the scene. I mean, people just went with a t-shirt and jeans, you know.
Yeah, there was. Or they made their own clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no Hot Top.
Yeah.
You heard of this place called Hot Top?
Yeah.
What's your guys' opinion of stuff? Should you be going to the mall to buy your own clothes?
That's one place you shouldn't go.
Like I said, Salvation Army, man. That's all about that.
So what would be your advice for
clothes?
What would be your advice for the young, the next shift after you guys?
Do not go to Hot Topic.
No, don't try to.
No, if they want to get into music, what would be your advice?
Just do it because you want to do it.
Yeah, don't try to impress. Just be yourself. And
don't worry about playing fucking 50 people in your face or, you know, just I take mine, like, because I'm the singer.
Yeah.
I follow the rules of SNFU. You've heard of them.
Yeah, sure.
The singer was, from what I've read, notorious for just, they either had the biggest crowds and he would go off, or he would just, they'd be at a show and there'd be one person there and he would just ignite still as if there was 50 in the crowd. And that's what he was known for.
Yeah, we call those character builders.
Yeah, you just have fun.
Hank Rollins was like that, too. In fact, he has a big spiel about that, about people who, base the performance on what...
Like, I mean...
This gig ain't work.
Oh, yeah. I read that.
Have you seen this thing that Hank wrote about that? Like, even if there's one dude there. I remember that band. We played with them. That dude was a go-off.
I'm sure. Yeah, he had his dreadlocks, right? Yeah, he just
see dreadlocks. There's other cats. Yeah, they look at the situation. Whoa, maybe this isn't as real. Anytime you get in front and go make music, it's real, right?
Yeah, like
real to me.
Back if you were to go through that.
So, that's good advice. If you guys had to do it again, what would you change?
Damn. I don't even know what to say to that.
If I had to do it again, what would I change?
Was that the stomper?
Pretty much. I don't even know. I don't even know what to change.
You're looking for a way to get this album out, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
gotta talk to Todd, man. Yeah. Nice, Pedro. Now, a lot many years. So. Check it out. I'd love to hear it. Let me play it on my show. You can flow it to me.
Cause I have.
I would love to do it.
Because I already know it's going to be one of those albums where, like, the person who puts it out is going to actually be like, "Oh, I'm really glad I did do it." Just like No Way when they put out ours.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it. I know it.
I want to thank you guys for coming down tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
thank you so much.
For having I want to have you back on too, huh?
Of course.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And do you have a gig coming up? Can I go see a gig soon?
January 17th at the Alpine.
Alpine Village,
yeah.
Really?
You know, I played there with the Minor Threat and Dead Kennedys.
God damn,
once. And it's like an old German beer hall.
Yeah,
it still lives, you know? That's very happy. Big respect, Matt.
Cool.
Let's thank DLA for coming on board. And,
very cool to have you guys.
Really. Keep it on. It's been a January 3rd, 2013 edition of WAP Pedro Show, first of the year. Everybody, keep your powder dry.
Yeah.